This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is now 4:47, and I'm calling this the February 28th Student Assembly meeting to order. Chelsea, could you please call the roll? Did you have a correction?
Yeah, he was actually on the screen. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Chelsea. Moving on to approval of the February 21st minutes. Are there any motions, corrections? There's a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next is open microphone. Is there anyone in the audience who is not already on the agenda who would like to present about anything? Okay. Please just introduce yourself and say your year for the record. Thank you very much, and we'll look out for your emails. Oh. Sorry. We are waiting for presentation from President Scorton and VP Murphy, but in the meantime, we're going to move on to announcements and reports, and the first is an elections update and voting reminder, DOE Weinberg.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy almost weekend. The campaign for the hard work with our campaign, as those of you are here right now. We had a record-breaking number of forums and opportunities for individuals to hear about the candidates this week, and I think they did a fantastic job. Those of you who want to find out more can watch the entirety of today's Tuesday on YouTube. It was filmed at Split Media, and we'll have a front page fun story. There's a lot of great voter outreach from continuing network supplies and other issues, but most importantly, we're going to talk and call the analysts, but basically not just vote yourselves, but really get the word out about voting. Really, we want high turnout, and the success or failure of the anti-representative body is most predicated on students actually voting. So that website is assembly.cornell.edu/vote. The election runs from 8 a.m. Monday to 10 a.m. Wednesday. It's really easy, and there's no reason for the trick to that. But make it simpler, we are going to have voting booths as well as Street, Live Cafe, RPGC, and other places. We'll be giving out high-voted stickers. So vote, get a sticker, and get your voice heard in a good government. So thanks, guys, and good luck to all candidates this week.
Thanks, DOE Weinberg. Next is a Tower Road Safety Initiative, Cal's representatives.
Hi, guys. So last week, Jill and I met with a bunch of faculty members and administrators to discuss some safety issues at Tower Road. We think it's really dangerous, especially in between classes and discussions of Tower Road and Garden Avenue, and things feel like they might get run over by us. So,
Do you have, Great. Do you have a comment? Okay.
You guys addressed the fact that the traffic lights keep going out, because it has a lot of light different on a lot of the kids, but still it's kind of rushing them out of the
line. Yeah, there's like an electrical problem. We actually got really good, because you have to be able to light stop signs that is affecting, but really the stop sign is only temporary because we let it be in the line. So, they're working on it, I guess, but hopefully there'll be some exciting changes by the end of the semester or the summer.
Great, thank you. Next is an AAP and a diversity plan update by VP Smith.
So I want to take a moment to just first have a moment of silence for a sophomore in the ERS program, his name is Joseph Hart. And he died. And it's not off of the papers, but he was actually my dad. I was glad to be his mentor when he first got here. So just take a minute. So on Tuesday, we actually, we had a meeting with MD and Marquis Media, and we really discussed everything from facility issues all the way down to really the main issue, which was addressing how the Melbourne grant that is going to be used for collaborative course version, who is going to be used for the advantage of it, how they could apply to those seminars. So we're really getting down to that, and we're going to start engaging a lot more undergraduates from all three departments to actually come up with collaborative course versions. collaborative. I want to say two versions of one thing, and I can say, as a fellow in collaborative push work, and then also talk about better incorporating their pieces. So, talking about a lot of the examples that I've thrown out a lot of times about community development and things of that nature. And we're going to create for you, looking at three different studios to try to do that. In terms of the diversity plan, we're at a state action meeting again on March 8th, likely at 4:30, I think it's 4:30 in the afternoon, so I'll send that out. But in addition to that, you will, the student assembly, we are co-sponsoring the Unity Hour this Sunday, March 3rd, at 8:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. That the topic is addressing diversity in the classroom, are we being a good voice? So that really is continuing the discussion surrounding the report that was released and whether or not we really should be doing it. But there's an announcement on the website to look at it and see some of the questions that will be asked, and hopefully we can kind of get that discussion going. Additionally, we will be co-sponsoring on March 11th. Through the Office of Action Diversity Initiative, we have a bi-weekly series called the Social Justice Roundtable Dinner, and we'll be co-sponsoring that. And I would encourage all of the members to attend this particular event, well, both of them, but this one in particular, because the focus is student assembly or student government in general, a helping hand or a hindrance to achieving justice. So we're going to be reaching out to some key organizations, many options to see if they would like to come to tonight. It's free food, it's a pretty good event, so we are welcome to come.
Thanks, Ulysses, and our condolences and thoughts are with you and Joe's family and all of his friends. Next is an Appropriations Committee announcement. You please decide.
We had our normal meeting last week with the WRC, so thank you, Nardo, for coming to that. And we will be having our normal update this week. I know Rico's already reached out to me and said he'll be coming. If anyone else wants to come, there's no confidential information. You're all welcome to. Those start at 5:16 and are in Statler 341. Just let me know you're coming in advance. As for the resolution from last week, the reports are going to have and will continue to be sent out over the course of the next coming days. So if you are a liaison to a byline-funded organization, you will be CC'd on that. And just in general, if SA members want to take part, as they said during the deliberations, and take a more hands-on role in reaching out to the byline-funded organizations, let me or VP Lucas know, and we can make sure to arrange a way to make that happen.
Thank you very much. We are now, actually I'm going to make one more announcement. For anyone who's interested, tomorrow is the close. Actually, do you want to make the announcement?
I get the information.
Okay. Tonight there's a dinner in Oakenshields. It's today's last day of February, the last day of Black History Month. I'm going to be going to it right after. I encourage everyone to go, and tomorrow is the closing ceremony.
The closing ceremony for Black History Month is tomorrow at 8 p.m. It's Black Days, closing ceremony called the
Great, thank you. So we're going to move into new business. First on the agenda is Resolution 32, in support of Violence Against Women Act.
Relationship.
specific things that college people have. They need to have a system in which they, are preventing violence, sexual violence cases, and then they want to have a follow-up process as well, and it's mandatory for schools. And not having this, I mean, I don't know how much our regulations change, but maybe other schools would not, you know, be as strict with the decision.
I think it was important for us to learn from the project probably because we know we get the conference from the last year from that we feel that our relationship is informed on. If you have any further questions about it or how it could affect us right now or what we were planning on doing at the time, please do reach out to us.
Are there any questions or motions? Well, yeah. So it passed in the Senate already, and the House passed the Senate version of the bill. They had their own version of it, but that failed, so they ended up passing the Senate's version. Well, they weren't even going to act. So from what I understand, you didn't even want to vote on it. So if you want, we could vote on it, or we could table it. I'll leave that up to you guys to the motion whether you want the SA, you know, the SA to vote on it or not. There's been a motion to move it to business of the day. Has it been seconded? It's been seconded. There's been a motion to... So, before I entertain any more motions, I'm going to ask the two of you, would you rather the SA vote on this to have it officially voted, or would you rather it be tabled? It's sort of... So you're okay if it's tabled, it sounds like. Okay. There's been a motion to table indefinitely. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, this is tabled. But congrats. I mean, this just to clarify to everyone, you know, in the early 2000s, the SA would, you know, work on resolutions that involved the Iraq War, that involved, you know, like Iran enriching uranium and other in gun rights nationally. And to an extent, this resolution does cover a national issue that I don't think an SA passing a resolution would have any effect over. But as you can see, they pinpointed a very specific part of this legislation that affects college campuses that they believe that President Scorton and Cornell support would have an effect. So it's actually a really interesting way of bringing it up, and I commend both of you for that. Did you want to?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, people from Georgetown who reached out to us initially about this met with the congressman from our district, from Israel, directly. And he was not, he was sure as far as what he would be viewed from the Republican Party, but he decided to approve it the way he was with the Spanish community, especially because there was a lot of calls and letters from the community that we use for this particular effort.
Great. Thank you.
Can I have like a 10-second, like, thing to do them?
Sure.
Yeah, just to add on, like, really quickly, I'm normally, like, very against friends of the body because I don't think they do anything, like, out of touch, but the way that you guys pinpointed something specific in here, for those of you guys who don't know, President Scorton supporting the Dream Act has been, like huge, huge national thing that a lot of people have touted kind of in support of that legislation, and I think something similar could have been done here, so I really do commend you guys for your work.
Thank you. We're going to move on in the agenda to Resolution 38. Establishing a new events calendar. You guys have 2 minutes to introduce.
Thank you. Hey everyone, so the event calendar is what we're trying to have today is basically something that there are many different events that are on campus, but our campus is still largely centralized, and there's no one specific place that we can go to find out about all the events. There is a However, not all community organizations on campus currently use that. And other jurisdictions do have some very similar methods, very effective, that are able to use it. And it is currently utilized by CornellSo we run a pilot program that brings together about 250 campuses and 30 organizations with children and with that area that are big and small that will come together to learn how to use event calendar and that will populate the system and that will promote the team to the community. And it's really trying to incentivize the use of the event calendar. We're working with student academic service developers and student activities offered to the program.
Just a few other things that we've been talking about. I think the question that you have to ask the administrative on Cornell campus is, if there's the opportunity to want to do something, where do you look and where do you find them? And right now there's like interconnected messages going on online. And this is our first initial step, which will follow a lot of things with this training program, program possibly with emails and other things and ways to schedule things for students on campus. This is an initial step and we want to see where things go and we would really like to have assembly support behind it. I just want to remind you of this initial step of the pilot program for the event calendar.
Great. Remember everyone, there's new business, so questions only. First is Enrico. Representative Bonacci.
So I actually heard you guys presented at the last meeting, and I don't see the report from that. So I was wondering if you guys send out like what kind of things you do, like new conversations, for example, accommodations, like I mean, how you and the other kind of the problem is that it's not very easy and difficult to do this. So I don't think the biggest problem is that the calendar is making people actually use it.
Question, Bill, sir.
And so how hard is
it? So one of the issues that you brought up is that it helps people use the same thing, which is the event calendar itself. We actually have some pictures from Friday after we met with the resident committee, and we talked about the social content of the some of the groups that it has all the organizations together. All the students are automatically enrolled. They're presenting emails to their friends and their high school that tells them how to sign up for the event calendar, which is currently going on the front page of the event calendar. And if it's even part of the biggest factor that when we think about that, why everything from not work is that because it's private.
It's 10 seconds.
It doesn't have a lot. It's not visible to the public. It's going to be student and you can't do a term on the Cornell. So we want to be able to do everything.
VP Gitlin.
You said that this is kind of monologue for a model for some other schools, and I know Brown has something similar to this. Can you guys just discuss how this is similar to Brown and some other universities?
Yeah, certainly. As well, just keep in mind that Brown is a different institution at Cornell, the way that it functions and the size is different than Brown, so I think the first thing we decided to take is also slightly different. Brown is Brown Morning Time, which comes out once every day to all students on campus, and basically has a list of events that are going on. What we would hopefully want to do, and it's still up in the air, is that the event calendar, we have a Cornell Morning Time, which is a streamlined aggregate email that would eliminate all the excess emails that are going on.
And that's, if you're sending out any more on campus, that we're going around to the teachers that currently need it, that faculty will be that country sometimes just fine and join us and bring those events with them. So basically, find out what you want to do about that one, and it's probably
usually you
have to And you have to work to get the event on the email, it has to be on the event calendar. So getting people to keep on the event calendar.
Next is Replot.
So we already have
Having all the leaders need to start trying to get them on board with this. it's more professional, it also is more aggregate, and it also includes all factors. It's something that students are going to want to read. We want that to be one. We want to give you feedback for it.
Rep Lovely.
Hey guys, congrats on the first major exposition. Just an idea I had, maybe if you could ask something that you're asking the students about the general interest in the company, and you could give them information to respond to their interest, or maybe like have access to the social network, or even like LGBTQ issues, and then have them be like kind of in the service for the corresponding organizations that represent. I think people are really interested.
Can everyone be quiet and questions only, please?
Yeah, I just think people are interested. People are like, okay, information that's relevant for them, so they make more relevant. Sorry, I think that's not important. All right, so basically, the issue that we're going to do is that there is a speech that you can know that's going to have an emails that are talking about events, and emails remind you to go to events. We want to limit all the emails that remind you to attend events. And the way that that happens is basically we're trying to get people to use the current event number. That's all that this application is. So if that happens, then organizations can post online, and then there's a way to like have them put it on the phone, like if you have to remind them to see them before. So you don't need to care about them anywhere.
10 seconds.
You want to do 10 seconds.
And also, like, the student assembly in the campus is promoting services to campus and less tracks on campus, so having something that has everything state-to-state. We've been playing around with profiles and be able to, like have different, like, certain events, like, showcase on people's specific profiles as well. So those are all things that would come along with it.
Rep Chen.
I yield my question.
Rep Gracia.
Going off of what Brooklyn Block was saying, have you guys thought of inviting what you want to do the undergrad at Cornell.edu? Because if you know what that is, like, it's like a week with all these different events to the student body. And so, have you thought of maybe talking with that listener to see that your listener that they go to the event calendar? So I think that would be a great way to be able to talk to us and eliminate any additional emails that we need to get.
Yeah, so potentially the idea is there's like 4 or 5 different aggregate emails that are going to be sent out to Cornell undergrads, whether that's unique or undergrads or something else. You want to put all of them in one that's going to be sent out.
Trustee Boris.
Hey guys, so finding a way to efficiently convene the show and try it. In some creative ways, by a bunch of traffic groups before, like either many campuses or experience specific coming out of the students. And I'm just wondering whether you could reach out to any of those people to like get ideas and lessons and what works and what doesn't work.
Do you like
any research in my email, but I have a account for like 3 different websites that are supposed to aggregate all events at some point. So we'll talk.
So, next is that I'm actually next in the speaker list. I was wondering if you would consider putting in an amendment in here, specifying that you want all the emails consolidated into one, and that there would be an aggregated email, because I don't sort of see it on here, and I was wondering if you'd consider doing that for next week, maybe.
I guess I will definitely consider that. I think one thing is that this resolution really just wanted people to start. Like, the main focus is this pilot program, this training that we have for these 20 organizations to get their information up on the event calendar.
Basically, the main thing is that a lot of people don't come down for discussion. I mean, first, if you're not involved in the organization, you don't really know what you're going to do. So, if you know the exact stuff from that organization, they can find out about all the way up to the event, and there will be a lot of actions.
Got it. Rep Pritchett.
Thanks, guys, for coming forward. My question is, if you're kind of going to consolidate these different emails into one, do we then all of our hurdles? Like, do we have control to do that? Or have you spoken with the industry that controls their services that some of their work will do?
Actually, I think you need to be sure that's one of the cases that they brought up that we've been discussing, that we should not be on the current reserves and bringing them into the union and basically having them consolidate into one. Also, there's a lot of traction that we've done, so we're basically trying to take the first step, which is just getting the organizations in the room together and having them sign up to the event. Another thing that we can branch out to afterwards, which is we should be a little bit further, is having industry funding as well as the industry lot of forms of us. We can streamline that process to the extent of which we're talking about the local education that is capable of doing that. There's a lot of ways to make it.
Yeah, and specifically, we've had Diane Clear and Catherine Holmes, so all the people in the administration as well, being far out and getting on the specific. So, like, we've made that with the administration, plan to reach out to more people as we take those steps for the email.
Rep Ballard.
So, if we're combining all these emails together, my main concern is that they're going to be really long, and that, I mean, I received a lot of emails, but I don't know how many people other people need to do that. And I just want to know how you're going to make it different than people will actually do it with you.
So you kind of do that, you look at the institution and you kind of stand on the that system that you have used very professionally. You've got some people on the other side of that, so basically they will model that implement.
Also, again, I think this is a really important point to start out again with this new business. If you feel like you want to be involved in this, and you want to have feedback, and you want to be in the creation of this, then please reach out to me and I about it, because it's something that we're protecting the pilot program that we know a lot of students have buy into this, and everybody's involved in the organization of kids, everybody gets these emails from the administration from undergrad. So I think that if you feel that it's something for any student you want to be involved in, please reach out.
Rep Taronis.
Yeah, I have a similar to Sarah's question. What if for companies like when we are getting 10 million emails, 20 million grants that like didn't necessarily know if I blocked by accident. I think I like a wide reason on maybe the whole system. I like the idea of like an outside calendar or like I look for free events to bring you all the time. And then honestly, like, so what's going on today where I can just bring to them? I think that would be really cool, like, an event, like, an actual calendar. But what if, like, we are together with you all, just like, we have stories, or?
Okay, just to clarify, I recommend all you want to do is that one you have it. It's basically, there's an infrastructure set up, a software set up, for the organization to come and show us all together.
I'm not doing this.
So, what we're trying to do with the presentation is just have all the different presentations in the club log onto that one central place and post about what we're doing. And that will come all kind of out as we're doing that.
The last two questions are Rep. Ginger and then VP Gitlin again for the second speaker list.
You just answered my question, your last comment, but I also wanted to pose, I guess I'll put a question mark on the end of this, because it's not like a statement of opinion, just so that it
will sound like it's not a question.
There's a question mark on the end of it, wait for it. So, with the, as chair of the committee on education and policies, we're trying to tackle a lot of programming kind of things, and being able to like, take on new projects that can really assist the university. We have all the administration from ICA Cornell when they work with us, so would it perhaps be a good opportunity for the committee to work with this initiative to really employ the skills of the people in the university to make this a really good project?
The last question is VP Gitlin.
Yes, my very simple question, but is there an unsubscribe button? Not sign that email again, are we? Or yeah, we are. So, you know, if it goes out in the morning, can someone unsubscribe if they don't want to get the email anymore?
You might be thinking about that. So basically, passing the recognition will just have more students go to online and then calendar. After that, then they can go to the direction for all the students who's trying to do it. Get more students trying to do it.
I'm really excited, like, it seems like everybody is very enthusiastic and all has, like, opinions
reach out to us here, please go to email, even though the resolution technically right now doesn't address the email.
Thank you both very much, and I have to stay, I guess, impartial here, but this is a very much a problem in terms of different siloed communities on campus and getting information across. So I think it's definitely something that we should all be thinking about, how to bring the community together more. Thank you both. Next on the agenda is Resolution 39. Okay, we're actually going to do the confirmation of the task force chairs now. We're going to move around the agenda. This was supposed to be earlier. This is pursuant to an amendment to the SA Appropriations Task Force resolution. The Student Assembly is obligated to confirm the co-chairs of the Appropriations Committee Task Force. They are here today. Would you like to go up there and present with them? Mr. Yazdi and Mr. Das, who have been nominated by CP Desai. You should all think of very encouraging questions. If anyone wants to watch a video some of the recent congressional hearings, I'd be able to send those around. Specifically, Elizabeth Warren's questioning. Sorry, continue.
As you guys recommended, it's a great idea. I'm here to propose my nomination for the follow-up task force. Hopefully, we'll receive nominations for your approval. The two people I nominated are Ali Yazdi, who's a senior in the class of 2013, and Karthik Das, who is a super junior, so he's graduating early, but he will be here for the entire appropriations committee semester next year. So I thought it was a good balance of like a senior and a junior for the appropriations purposes. And I guess like a little bit on my rationale. And then two of them are two of the more objective people on the appropriations committee, and I think that they have a lot of experience in terms of kind of financial budgeting, which I know is something that people have recommended to be needed for a lot of the groups that were in trouble, so I thought they'd be able to help with that. Also, the president of an organization on campus is very large, so I thought you kind of had that management expertise from the organization standpoint. And probably was the president of student agency, so he kind of also has that perspective on operations and procedure, which I thought would be helpful overall in helping groups. And in general, you know, I think that there were
10 seconds.
There were worries about the two of them being a little bit too objective in that sense, they're operationally focused, but again, the organizations do have the ability to write rebuttals to include the support if they disagree with what they write, so that was too much of an issue for me, and the appropriations committee approved the choice by 7-3-1 vote, otherwise there should be no else that I just want to do by chairing on the review of that 8-3-1.
Okay. We're going to open up the confirmation hearing with some questions. First on the speaker's list is Trustee Boris. Yeah. It's questioning, and then there's... Exactly, and it's a regular motion to vote.
Hey, guys.
You can.
Just a simple or question. Both. What are your philosophies that you have on what the task force should be? Maybe suggestions. What sort of grounds do you suggest that things should file on groups and then any kind of handle that?
Well, first of all, good afternoon, everybody. So, with the amendment or the resolution that was passed last week, we actually are mandated to follow up with any group that receives a negative vote during the appropriations committee. So we do a buy-sell hold rating on any group that has faith for itself, we have to follow up with. At the same time, I think your question touches upon, you know, kind of the nerve and kind of the subjective aspect that we need to kind of bring into the process. So of course we really don't want to step on anyone's toes. And despite the Republican eyes, I think the way we experience more towards the financial side and the budget side of things, we really want to be, you know, as inclusive and as objective and as just helpful as possible. We're going to really include members from the appropriations committee to come with us, ask the intermediates, use the SA liaisons that you folks have provided for each of these groups, and with that kind of consortium, hopefully we can kind of arrive to a very positive, very engaging feedback cycle with groups so that we can help them and they can help us kind of achieve our goals.
Next is Rep. Pritchett. Oh, okay. Sorry. Rep. Kirk.
Can you guys talk about any experience that you have done working with these biological organizations? Because I know especially some of them are more focused on culture or sensitive to members of the Appropriations Committee. I have that experience with that organization. If you maybe have
regretfully, I have never been in a biomedical organization. I have been, though, had kind of a wide breadth of experience. I was vice president of the ISEC-ML, which is a non-profit group. So when it comes to cultural, I'd say that I have not been experienced with that.
So, by the way, just to go back a second to procedure, how it's going to work is it's basically like any normal, you know, non-charter change resolution. Anyone can motion to vote, and it has to pass by a majority. If it doesn't pass, then it goes back to appropriations for O'Neill to nominate two other people. Yeah. Right, it would be the pair that you're passing. Yeah.
So this is the only for this semester.
Yep. Right.
So you mentioned that Mr. Dow would be good for next year, would be also part of the committee next year?
That's completely up to the discretion of next year's Vice President of Finance, Vice President of Internal Operations, and the Staffing Committee.
Next is Rep. Uoka.
I yield Rep. Brown.
To who?
No.
Oh. Rep. Marshall.
It was a closed vote, so not allowed to.
If anyone would like to speak up and let the vote know, I'm curious.
Next, it's you. Okay, so you yield to Rep. Pritchett.
So some of us on the appropriations felt that this is very one kind of maybe more beneficial member who works with an older member on the task force, just for the sake of the teacher that appropriations committee to have that experience. And then secondly, I don't remember your point, but it might be important for one of the, at least one of the members of the task force to be an essay member. Being on the appropriations committee, and AFCOM and then the task force and extension of the assembly, and the recommendations that they're going to be evaluating the practicality of it are essentially from the and then thirdly, Ale and are very smart, business minded people, who are very successful on campus, different from. But some people feel they might be dealing with collaboration. Looking for and it's going to be some simplicity in this process as we kind of evaluate the practicality of appropriations and recommendations. So it may be more beneficial to have someone who's a little more forgiving
So we're actually going to put this on hold. President Gordon and Vice President Murphy have, it's a long speaker's list. have arrived. They're going to come and speak and answer some of our questions, but we'll get back to you guys in right after. So President Gordon, Vice President Murphy, thank you very much for coming. And I'm also opening up the speakers list for after you present. Thank you very much for coming to speak with us. We really appreciate it.
No, I really appreciate it. The only thing I wanted to mention today is just my condolences and friends of our students at the campus of our emerging and to those of the smaller students who suffered through one two loss for a good time. And I hope you have a good time.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here.
Ulysses, who actually isn't here right now, was Joe's mentor in the planning department, so I'm sure he would have appreciated your condolences, and if he's not back before, we'll make sure to relay those.
I will just mention,
as
you mentioned, there is a community park meeting going on at Water Market tonight, and the staff are working with the college for some relief.
Great. So, should we go right into questions? Okay, right into questions. First on the speakers list is Representative Iwaoka.
So, calling up in the next slide today comes out talking about reducing the necessity to reduce sexual assault and violence on campus. I do love to hear more about your plan to reduce violence that target the LGBT community. I'm especially curious about working with this issue because some of the most dramatic events that violence that happened in the fall involved homophobic slurs, and those represent only the reported instances. Moreover, the efforts of the LGBT community to provide more support to all members of the Cornell community by the addition of a second full-time staff member at the LGBT Resource Center were met with very high-level response from your office. So we would like to hear more about what you have in mind related to these scary issues.
So thanks for being here. It's good to see you. There's four aspects to this, and I'll try to be quick, but I want to mention all four of them. Let me give an order of what you're most concerned about in this staff position. Obviously, I'm going to defer to the Vice President to talk about that. But the situation at the university now, as we've talked about, it's not something you want to hear again and again from me. But it is such that it's very, very hard to find resources. And then, as of tomorrow, we're actually getting another phase of the country's support when the sequester comes. And the President has a day's order for the sequester, which is going to happen tomorrow. And so I always try to be honest with all of you all the time, individually or in a group. I don't see the resources that we are going to be able to bring to anything changing very much. Hopefully not going down very much more. As soon as that gets done, I'm sure the President is looking forward to talk about the specifics of it. In terms of what I said about today, the other three aspects of it are what that is to talk about. One message that I try to get across in that, and I appreciate it, because you kind of can get through that whole message, it's a long message, is that we're not where we need to be yet. And I've said that because I want to know that I know that. And I'm going to have to do whatever we can to get closer to the goal of actually having a culture where people feel safer and where we respect each other more in some aspects and respect ourselves. The other two operational aspects have to do with having the response systems that I think have always been good here become more robust and better. And one of the outcomes of the efforts over the last 5 months has been to pinpoint areas in which the response systems have to get better. And then the other part, the toughest part, tougher even the issue of staff support for individual areas of the university, has to do with how we are together going to do our best to change the culture and reduce the likelihood of some incidents occurring. We recognize, as I said, I don't think it prevents violence or assaults from occurring, but I don't think it's too much to expect we're going to lower the likelihood of it happening. And in order to go in that direction, more action oriented and will be working toward doing specific things that were outlined in the document today to move in that direction. At the end of the day, I still think that the campus is going to feel resource limited in terms of staff. And ever since the discussion, are resource limited in terms of staff. And I wish I could give you some assurance that we're going in the opposite direction. I don't see that happening. So it's going to be a matter of individual leaders and universities doing their best to reallocate resources toward areas that they consider to be high priority. I know that this is the area that they consider to be high priority. And how we'll move forward from these resources over the next couple of months.
Thank you. The first thing we need to do is convene the newly named Executive Committee on Campus Climate, Health, and Safety to formalize the role of this group and looking at campus climate more involved on the operational sense of from the policy sense of the within the Division of Student and Academic Services, we've been spending time over the last couple of weeks on the very last one with the President to see how we might reassign responsibilities or align our units somewhat differently so that we can leverage expertise in different ways. This was talked about in the IMT report in particular, as we might think about broadening the number of staff who have responsibility, for example, with systematically. Not because it comes from the Jewish job like it does, but when you have one person with that responsibility, you have all the issues and we need to look at our staffing that way. And I think the same thing holds true in many of the, much of the work that we need to do to address bias prevention, as I look across all of what we do in student academic services. So, I'm acutely aware of the desire, particularly in the LGBT community, for the addition of the staff. I don't see us getting any new staff right now. We're struggling to hold on to our existing staff. But that doesn't mean we don't find ways to make sure that the LGBT community, through what happens in residential programs, through what happens in student support services, through what happens in student activities, through the leadership that Matt Pretzel can provide and working with a broad range of staff, can do even more than is obvious about what we're doing. So our first task with this Executive Committee Campus Climate, Health, and Safety is to take the leadership within that committee, and I think our first to do will be to structure a specific committee that will be looking at sexual violence per se, because we need to ramp up our expertise and our targeting efforts there. Secondly, we will be, as the discussion mentioned in the President's message, trying to build on our response mechanisms for issues abroad, instead of the individual crisis that we've had to deal with the tragedy of an individual student abroad. And then thirdly, understand better what's happening in the management of around bias prevention and what kind of structure we put in place to advance that operation going forward. I don't have that answer yet, but that's what I think is going to be really good fairly soon. We're just
getting charged to do that. I've been confident that I speak for Vice President Worthy and Dean Hubble and the others in their division to say that your ideas, the idea that you've already stated, which is very clear and that's very valuable, other ideas we may have for how we can work better against this happen are needed. They're needed as much as well, but they're needed because of the constrained environment that we're in and we're going to continue to be. So please make no doubt about it that your objective is also our objective. The question is how to get here along the way we're in responsibility that has to be discharged. And I hope you'll continue to pressure us, but also give us ideas to work with us in a way that we can meet the goal of this expectation. So I appreciate it.
I would just add,
we will be formally involved with students in these ongoing conversations in the same way we have around the President's Council on Alcohol and Other Drugs and the President's Council on the Mental Health and Welfare, where students get to stand as members of those groups and then do their contribution to those groups and their own work to help the campus. We will be doing the same in these areas. We just have to figure out how we'll work with Adam and with Mitch and with other obvious places where we return to student participation. So that will be a goal that I would imagine. If we're really lucky with the limitations, of course, there's a great deal of time by the end of the year.
We'll look forward to seeing you guys at our college conference in April, hopefully.
I sent the invitation, but. Rep Kerr.
Thank you guys for coming in. I'm very grateful to be here. I of course want to work with you, I've been working on it a little bit, but a lot of some organizations are wondering where they fit in the whole goal sort of eliminate aging here at Cornell. So we've seen some reports from the OSA and PACAR, and organizations are trying to take steps to make sure that they aren't aging, aging is active and role, but nobody really knows what happens to those two organizations should they be included in a scandal. And so the administration is taking steps to make that judicial system clear so students know what exactly the consequences are and what happens if they are aging.
Yes, and the fact that they asked the question tells me we obviously have more work to do. So, for any student group that is a registered student organization, they are governed by the Campus Code of Conduct. Hazing is formally defined in the Campus Code of Conduct. And so, should there be reports either through the hazing website or through individual reporting to anybody else in the community of suspected hazing, we would turn to the JA, and it is appropriate the police for an investigation and then ultimately adjudication. The hazing.cornell.edu website is not a specific website, so it would involve any student group. It also tries to provide information for any student group about what is and what isn't. And I think there are a number of people in the public organization, particularly in the Catholic Home area, as well as the Catholic Church area, that would be happy to meet with any student leaders who want to talk. In particular, I know that Travis has presented to all the athletic coaches, as an example, in addition to the Catholic Church and the Greek system. So his day-to-day job is fraternity authorities, independent living, but his expertise together with Tim Marshall, so any student group who would like to have a session, or a group of students who would like to have a session, we'd be delighted to participate.
Rep. Donati.
Thank you very much for the President Merchant and the report for coming. I just have a question regarding the internationalization plan that you proposed and passed last semester. A lot of international students have been asking exactly what is the progress that has been made and from this plan so far, particularly pertaining to current international students and now. One of the sub-sections was regarding the need to increase financial aid for international students, and that's a very complex issue, of course. But for example, one of the most pressing needs is once an international student is accepted to go now, if they don't need financial aid, then they can never reply for another 4 years, so you don't know the problem. And as well as one of the difficult questions was for the nationalization plan, which is an American student coming out. What about, for example, bringing more international students to the Cornell than the Spanish colleges allow? I just wanted to know what the progress was regarding especially the work of current
international students. Yeah. So, this is a very important big question. I tried to be very brief as quickly as I can. On the issue of bringing more international students to Cornell, we're already one of the most international American universities, and to be very, very honest and open with you, that is going to be the main thrust is that the students who come here, documented or undocumented international students, what can we do to improve the experience and also to provide financial aid for us? So, just to be honest, that we'd like to keep it robust and keep people believing that they're comfortable coming here and can come here and can afford to come here. But the emphasis, because we're so much lower than our conformal carrying values that we've had in this whole overseas, that was more of a thrust. The trigger interest is the HOA is the same as what you and I talked before, and that is working with philanthropic approaches to this. And I've been continuing to work on this. We've gotten some success linked always so far to alumni of Cornell who have some interest or particular passion for bringing students supported from a certain part of the world. Sometimes it's because they are alumni from that part of the world, but not always. Others just may have an interest and passion in that. And we are slowly making some progress in that. I wish we were more than that, but we're slowly making progress in that. In the smaller, uncircumcised, undocumented students, this has been very frustrating nationally. We're making another attempt now to work with other organizations on immigration reform, which would allow eligibility for some of the other forms of aid for which international students are currently not eligible. And we'll have another attempt. This is all advocacy. It does not help you with your internal right now at all. But in terms of the future, we have another large national advocacy effort that I'll be rolling out to my colleagues from across the country in the next few days. In terms of the issue of the way the currently available financial aid is being utilized, Barton Tool is one of the vice provosts who is a graduate college dean and also oversees admissions and financial aid. Has done a report on this, an internal report, which continues to make the point, the very same point that you and I personally have talked about, that the overall amount of funds available for international undergraduates is just woefully inadequate. And so I wish I could give you more data, but all I can tell you at this point is that we're slowly bringing more plans, and it's still much too little. And in terms of campus learning about where the provost and I are going to go with the realization of those faculty suggestions, it's taken us a while to do that. We've been working, especially Provost Lockhead, very actively behind the scenes still. And there'll be a variety of things that will be announced in the next very few weeks that will at least give you some comfort that things have stalled back there in September or October. So please know this is one of the areas that I'm spending a lot of effort on. It's very hard work to make some progress on because the immigration system is hard. So I appreciate you continuing to work on this. And when you hear organizational announcement, maybe contact me again and tell me if any of those things touched at all the concerns you have, and if not, remind me what we'll continue to interact with each other.
Thank you very much. The proposal is a lot of investment, and I'm going to try to get some discussion regarding the establishment of an international student center. So once we can continue talking about that. Thank you very much.
Did you get that? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks a lot for continuing to consistently talk about this.
Are there any community members who would like to ask a question at this point? One of the suggestions that came out of the Student Assembly presidential debate yesterday, chaired by Alphonse, editor of the Cornell Review, was to engage community members more, and I take responsibility for that. So if there are any community members right now, Oscar. You could come up and just give your name and year for the record, and or you can pull up a chair even.
That's a good question. I'm just kind of curious. We actually need to work with individuals to do a lot in terms of all the issues that we care about. But I'm kind of curious, seeing as you have a student leader here, what you kind of want to work on in terms of initiatives that you think that we need to do.
Thank you. It's a very generous question. Honestly, I think this is exactly what you want to do. You meet with us, you keep in very close contact, obviously, with Dr. Murphy and also close contact with those things that we're thinking about that are in process. And so, from my point of view, if you did nothing more than just stay the course on games, and as SA presidents and as SA representatives come and go, to have that consistent commitment to coming to the student leaders, keeping in touch, that's the most important thing to do. I always hold up the SA and GTSN interactions as models of shared governance. It's very open, you agree on it, you disagree on it, there's a lot of dialogue. So I have nothing to suggest in terms of improvement. I'm sure Dr. Burke would not as nice as I am, a whole bunch of things she thinks she's doing wrong.
I have nothing to do with doing things wrong, but you let these guys get off way too easily. I have to be a little more explicit about some of the key initiatives of the institution, and they're related to the issues that we've raised today. So, to Dean's point around what's going to happen in college now in April and what's happening in all of the student organizations, I think each of you in your elected roles and also where you have leadership roles have an enormous influence to play on the kind of self-reflection and work we all need to do around matters of bias and working with different. And I would ask that you continue to think about that deeply, reflect on it for yourself, challenge your own organization, and move forward. I know there's some folks that have formalized that process by what they might write for themselves and the diversity strategic plan, and others are just going through the exercise. So that would be one thing that I would ask, and I think related to Dan's question around gating, which I would do more broadly, I think the initiative that this assembly has taken on around health and well-being. Again, as each of you as individuals, as elected representatives, and in your other leadership roles, because I know this is not the only place that you are playing a key leadership role, to call out behavior that is dangerous, so that it doesn't occur, and be the set of eyes and ears, so that if you see something dangerous happening, intervene and get the help that you need, not to take on the police role, not to take on the therapist role, but with your leadership in this area, that's how we have made a difference and will continue. So those would be after the two things. And I know many of you are engaging with this, and I wanted to say publicly that I appreciate that leadership, but to be explicit that I think it comes with being a team.
Next is VP Desai.
Gordon, the University of Utah is always just coming. Just to know if you have, unless you guys are living under a rock, you probably got a Facebook notification from President Giblin or D.O.E. Weinberg about the current student assembly election. I think it's been a good opportunity for the seniors to get some feedback from the students. And I think a lot of the time they throw suggestions at us, like, well, why don't we have a center for international students, or why don't we pay for white cards to watch the board district, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the answer to a lot of reasons we don't have enough money. That's just the pure reality of it sometimes. And I think an overwhelming consensus that I've been hearing from students is kind of a concern of, well, you know, every month I see a new news article about the millions of dollars we're spending on the tech campus in New York. You guys came out originally and said, like, tech campus will not need any sort of divergent funds from the Ithaca campus, and you know, that won't affect us at all here. But I guess if you guys could give us a little bit more of a concrete answer for us to really the students in terms of, you know, guaranteeing them that the tech campus isn't distracting from life here in Ithaca.
It's a really important question. It's an important question about all the different parts of the university. And so I want to again say to the public for the record that we put a firewall between the budget of the College of Medicine, Dr. Medical College, and the campus. And then when Provost set up a budget for the Tech campus, it was also set up with a firewall that has to stand in its own body. Now, the funds flow to the university are massive, $3.45 billion a year. And if it would be helpful, if it only is, and I'm telling you as student leaders what how to spend our time together, it would be helpful for me to bring with me one or two people from the finance or budget side of this campus, or even better, perhaps a CFO who oversees all of the financing for the whole university, to review for the essay and say it would take probably 15 or 20 minutes, no less than that, to just sort of remind people that you don't need to go and read this stuff every day. Just like I don't get the details of the things they do are in control of where the funds come from and how the funds are spent. It would be very worthwhile expenditure of time from my point of view, but obviously it's your agenda and how you want to do that. The verb that you used was guarantee. And at the end of the day, the word guarantee in this setting is only as good as the financial control that are put in place. And we do that since the recession started in 2008-09, as Dr. Murphy and other very senior leaders were still funding very stringent, I guess I would say rigid, spending guidelines and financial controls for different things. And one of those financial controls that came up is on its own. Now, that also means if somebody gives a philanthropic gift, that is designated to be sent on the campus, it can't be sent anywhere else. Just like the philanthropic gift, the vast majority of the philanthropy in the university comes to this campus. So, I'm in service. If you decide to have it, and the rest of you, that it's not worth the time, the very precious time that you have doing this, we can set up a separate meeting for a subset of the heads of the appropriate committees, whatever, and come to my office or wherever you want to do it, the table boardroom. We can go over that way. Whatever way would be better. And the third option would be that we just send you some material that you can just sort of look at. But whatever way would be better for you, it would be good for us to go with it.
Okay. I'll defer to John and Adam on that. But my personal opinion is I think it would be great if you guys could additionally bring someone from the endowment for that. I know we've had a lot of endowment-related issues or questions over the course of the year, and I think it would be very helpful to kind of iron those out.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, I just wanted to look at some of that tonight, but recently we talked about the issue, I think in the Supreme Court, if I'm remembering correctly, about the investment resolution. And I don't want to steal your thunder, but I hope that the people are aware that we made the offer to have the Chief Investment Officer and the Chair of the Investment Committee meet with whatever complement of student leaders interested in this, if you would like to. In terms of the endowment, I'm glad to bring somebody or send somebody. You need to remember that the way we decide on investments at the university is done by a committee of the trustees. They're the ones who actually make the decision. But the combination of the professional who's hired to be chief investment officer and the head of that committee, they're both very much very interested in interacting with the student positions, are not just about the issue of cost of capital. So we're at the service.
All right. Thank you very much.
I have a hard stop, and I'm going to have to go away from one
more
call.
Sure.
Dr. Murphy is going to be
So I will email you about setting up the two meetings, one about the related to tech campus financials and one related to divestment, because they are kind of two separate groups of people. And then I guess the last question for you is Representative Block. And if you have to go also.
I don't necessarily know if this is going to be a quick question, but the question is probably for you. The university is going through its policy of changing policies that exploit support for those accused of sexual assault, and one thing that many students have been talking about is what is the university going to do for that will continue to protect the accused, but also working with our organizations to work for those sexual assault. So I guess I just want to hear a little bit more about the process, what's going on, what is the university actively doing to ensure it's protecting those who are accused, and also what is the university learning from this process, but what are the problems that we're having as we develop the policies.
So let me take a quick swing at this, and forgive me for having to make this brief, but I'm glad to talk to you more about it separately if you want to. As you know, we went through a very, very careful process in deciding what to do when this issue came up, and not everybody was satisfied with the outcome. Whichever way the outcome went, whichever level of proof was required, someone was going to be unhappy with the outcome. I personally, obviously, was swayed by the points of view of the people who promulgated the direction that I'm going. I think there's a burden of proof on the whole community, not just on the university administration, to continue to monitor the situation and see how things go. I personally believe, and I I did get to look at a lot of this, that we're going in the right direction, that the combination of the very careful processes that are in place and the work of the Senior Police Department have shown so far that, this is a good procedure. But we have to continue to monitor and always continue to look at what's going on. Obviously, if you or a friend of yours have been on one side or the other, you're going to have a different point of view of where it's at. Nobody is complacent about this. Nobody is sleeping this way. People are continuing to talk about it. There's another editorial on the Sunday that was very popular editorial. Nonetheless, I'm not swayed to change the decision in any way, shape, or form by anything that I could. And I'm glad to talk about it more, and I'm forgetting that I've heard about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, President Stone, for coming. Thank you very much, Ethan Murphy. Okay. So we are going to move on in, we're going to move back into the discussion about the Appropriations Task Force co-chairs. Mr. Yazdi, Mr. Dobbs, please take the seats again.
I don't know if we can follow that up.
So we are reopening up the speakers list. And Rep. Lukashevitz is first on it. Unless, if you wanted to maybe recap for 30 seconds what you were saying, because some people weren't listening.
Yeah, so this is something bad. Basically, the rationale from the person who voted against the appointment. And pretty much it was on three grounds. Number one, it suggested that maybe one of the members of the co-chair could be a younger member of the appropriations committee, just for the sake of the, longevity of the number two, that one of the members should be an FA member. Task Force and Recovery Committee at the same time, and the recommendations that were made are on behalf of the Assembly. And third, there was a concern that Ali and Marcus might be able to operate some kind of local organization for the function as opposed to being more being in on the support groups.
Okay. VP Luke Shevitz.
So I think both of you are very qualified, great. But I also realize that both of you, this is kind of going off of campus comment a little bit. I realize that both of you have a very finance outlook, and a lot of your involvement on campus has been finance. While you were involved in PSAC, I don't know. You guys both have a very finance outlook, and I don't think, especially since neither one of you have been involved in a bylaw organization or an organization that isn't looking at finance, I think that that doesn't allow for a diversity of perspectives. And while the task force is supposed to be very objective, I think that even in being objective, you have different perspectives that are leading your objective decision. So I think that there's a need for more diverse perspectives. In addition to that, I agree with Cameron in that I think there should be one SA member that's also an appropriations committee that's chairing this task force. And yeah, that's it. Thank you.
So would you like us to answer those points, or was there a question?
There's no comment. Since we're voting, it was more of a comment.
Yeah, it was more of a comment.
Is there any way that we can respond to these comments?
Yes, you can have a minute to respond. Well, so typically, I would put you on the speaker's list, but you have a minute to respond now. So I'm just going to pop you on. Yes.
So if we make a motion to vote, we vote on the individuals, correct?
No, you vote on them as a pair. So, right. Exactly. Very efficient. Next is, you have a minute. Go.
I think people on the committee or people in the essay are kind of confusing what the chair does and what the task force does. As chairs, we are simply meant to manage the task force and to kind of direct what the task force's activities are. But we also have the discretion to bring on whatever members of the appropriations committee that would kind of be specifically fit to the organization that we're looking at. So if this is a bylaw kind of organization that is
statistics of multicultural issues, we will select people from the appropriations committee that will kind of specialize and be very passionate about that kind of violence in the group. The reason why people in the middle are nominated us, we were nominated, we did not actually start out this position, is that we have a skill set that is kind of applied generally to almost all violence in organizations due to our experience as president of the as president of SAA. Those experiences in and of themselves kind of want to think that we're very financially oriented, but we really are just going to be charity, and we're going to let the younger people and kind of take a hands-off approach to let those people kind of direct the outcome of our committee.
Time. Rep. Chen.
Hi, I'm
Rep. Chen.
So I have to take this for a very long time. However, one thing that stands out to me is that we are both graduating this year, and we are 2 years perfect to graduating in December. So I hope you guys help the community, I guess, transition to the next year, helping me ensure that we can see within my preparation.
Thanks for the question.
You have 40 seconds.
Sure. I think the focus again is about the time. Our role is to manage the graduating committee, and we are more than
Rep. Locke.
Well, guys, you guys know that I've been pretty critical of the appropriations committee in the past few years, but I think that these two are pretty good choice. And I'm kind of surprised to hear that people think that they're so financially. You know, I remember when we were talking about Christmas Eve and like, you know, all these mentioned, sometimes you have to let that's the kind of sentiment that these guys have. Like, I've never seen, you know, Ali looking at their technical data and doing a cost provider, for example. I think that both of these guys are very qualified to be on appropriation committee because they have both an ability to empathize with groups, but also one of the strongest skill sets in terms of looking through groups, their balance sheets and their
sacrifices
as well. I highly recommend that
VP design.
So just want to respond to a couple of quick comments about, you know, the rationale behind my nomination. So a few phrases that I've heard thrown out were, the process has an element of subjectivity, and, you know, Halloween and Carpet are a little too operational. Again, just to reiterate, like, if they do impart any subjectivity on the process, A, first of all, they have five other, at least three other members of the committee to check them along with a liaison that should be from the student assembly. So that's a built-in check and balance right there. Also, the main check and balance, and this is, you know, thanks to Dean and Emily and the rest of the agent, is the clause that was added to the resolution, that if the group disagrees with what they say, they can write a written response to their thoughts. So if anything, like if they write some completely biased report that doesn't reflect the sentiments of the group at all, the group is going to dissent it, and their recommendation isn't going to hold weight. So no matter who gets appointed, their goal is going to be to write something that accurately reflects the sentiments of the group, or else it won't be taken seriously. And in that opinion, the people I want to select are those that can do the job best, and that's the few people right here.
Rep. Harris.
I think actually that's one of the reasons why we're going to this is that we do have a lot of time, and this is going to be very time-intensive for us to follow up with all the five organizations. Within ISEC, I'm actually coordinating a conference this weekend for the region, but apart from that, I really have a lot of time. And also just to say a couple of things, I think for a few times where I've heard some subjectivity be more pressing than objectivity. So I'm kind of, I think that's very interesting to have. But Karthik and I bring a lot of experience with running through and doing budgets. I was on the appropriations team
That's actually time. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll let him speak. Go. Rep Muir.
So your first, I want to start off by applauding Vice President Saad for making such a great nomination. There are two guys, in my 2 years of experience in the appropriate community, there are two individuals that have had chairing the solid tackles. From a professional standpoint, you know, they have the ability to work at the financial increases we've already discussed better than anyone else. But on top of that, they're not going to, you know, try that. They're not here to just try to shut down the street. They're here to help them. And they've expressed that to me individually, and they've shown that to the appropriations committee. They've been looking for ways to improve the organization, and that's exactly what they've been doing as chair. And I'm sure that they'll find great people to fill their task force suited to each organization as a whole.
By the way, I'm cutting down speaker time to 30 seconds. What? There's been a motion to vote. There's dissent. Do you want to withdraw your motion, or should we vote to vote, Peter? Yeah.
I'll take one.
Do you want to find out more information with them and do it for next week? Renewal? Renewal.
It went through a committee. That's not voted on.
We still can't get it.
Okay, sorry. I need to press the last one on the agenda to go back to
you. You probably should have sent out more information.
I apologize for that. I just assumed it was going to be part of the Appropriations Committee announcement, and, you know, I didn't really know there's anything to put on our resolution. It's not a resolution.
Are you motioning to table until next week? There's been a motion to table until next week. It's been seconded.
Strong dissent.
There's dissent. So we're going to vote to table, basically. If you are in favor of tabling until next week, please raise your placards. If you're not in favor of tabling, abstentions. Okay, by a vote of 9 from 16 to 0, we're going to continue questioning. Next is Rep. Cho. You can be on the second one. Okay. Rep. Yes.
Is there a procedure, a standardized procedure for approving committee members? And this is nothing. This is absolutely nothing against you. It's just, I have to agree with Jill on this point. Like, you know, absolutely, we have like no information other than what you told us, and we have time to review the agenda. And it would have been nice if we had some bios, something, to some sort of rationale, the same way we got that last week for other things. That's the only thing people are confused right now. So is there a procedure, or am I missing something?
So this is a new process. You're not missing anything. This is the first time we're doing this because the resolution passed next week. You can respond, but what?
Usually committee chairs can pick their people inside the committees, but since the resolution specifically calls that we have to approve for them, there hasn't been a process in place, whereas in previous times it was the committee chair who decided themselves internally on these people.
They're not members of the committee. They have positions within the committee, and the only thing that's at all
kind of applicable to this is approving the SAAC Executive Board, and historically we have never included bios for them. We've literally stated their name, and they've come before us, they've been approved, like, this.
Yeah.
Not to say this isn't important, but I would say that if we don't apply any sort of vetting process to the SAAC co-chairs, I'm kind of shocked that we're doing it now, especially when the Appropriations Committee back their vote, and in terms of why they want to table it for a week, we can't follow up with these groups until the task force is appointed. So, like, if you vote no, that's fine, but I would strongly urge to vote for this.
I have a point of information.
Yeah.
In the beginning of this fall semester, we do not receive a document that has any qualifications for appropriations committee ahead of time, which means we could have reviewed it and then we voted on the task force. So, I think there is a preference for it, and I think that we should strongly consider anyway doing that.
So, well, internal. So, we're going to continue down the speakers list. If you want to make another motion to table, I'll entertain that. Okay? Okay. There's been a motion to table. And there's, we're going to vote again on... Yeah. Yeah. That's what, that was what I was saying originally. So do you withdraw your motion? Rep. Lovely. Rep. Bonatti.
So, I know what you're doing.
Okay, all the side conversations have to stop. This is the last 10 minutes of the meeting. We're doing something new. You shouldn't be talking over what's going on, especially after you guys are asking points of information about what's going on. There should not be any side conversations. Rep. Bonatti.
So, I know what you're doing. Be a good choice with both of you, but I was just wondering regarding your point, Charlie, that you said that you're ready to offer a slide. I was just concerned that, like you speak more about, from a consulting point of view, so, I just wanted to discuss from, the advice the organization is not able to, have to take order from that. And I just wanted to ask a question regarding, when you decide what other organizations are good or bad, how do you decide that? On the reach of the organization, on the dollars you spend per person? Because I think personally critical of some large organizations that they have very little reach, but you need a lot of money. So, how do you see that?
With regards to the offering of clients, our focus is to act as a channel between the appropriate community and the open organization. So we're not telling them what to do. We're taking the recommendations of the appropriations committee, and we're going with those to the founding organizations and explaining the rationale behind those recommendations. At the same time, we're hoping to understand what is or is not feasible from their point of view, and to be able to communicate that back to the appropriations committee. So for the next cycle, for example, five states who have to cut their marketing expenses in half, and they think that's unfeasible, how do you communicate that back to the appropriations committee? That's not what they can do with their current operation. And so that's the first one, the second one, and the other.
That's actually Tom. No, because it's, we're in the lat, there's still a long speaker's list. You can build it into the next answer. Is that okay? Quick check.
Framework of objectivity, and especially what the propensities and what they have weaknesses are.
that said, if you look at this, like, if you have a former president of the Mutual Investment Club and the agency, and I think, like, if you look at that leadership experience, that's invaluable. That's probably one of the reasons why we're in this position. Besides the fact that the past 3 times, and that one of the members will be here next semester for the Boston Funding, I think that says a lot about the longevity of the organization, of the expertise of the chair. Besides that, I have 3 members who are also in the room, and I don't need to track the experience that we have.
VP Gillen.
I just have to say, while I completely understand people's reservations about not putting names in advance, they are their names, because like when we had this from the FASD, the commissioners, we just had their name, we didn't have any background information. And I think a lot of people, as almost everyone on this FA, always complains about the internal process that we always struggle through, especially this year. And I would just caution everyone to push this off, because we have a lot of other stuff that we have to work on. And this is exactly the reason why we aren't getting stuff done this year. So these are 2 very good picks. I trust in the discussion, and I think a lot of people do, and I think that we can vote on. So I motion to vote.
There's been a motion to vote. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to vote. It's going to be a placard vote. It's a majority vote. If you are in favor of the Yazdi Das co-chair duo, please raise your placards. If you're not in favor, any abstentions? By vote of 19-0-7, it passed.
I really understand a lot of reservations and I'm not that. So any of those people who are saying, any of these people who are yes for us, please reach out to us. Which are my people? I will sit down and if you have reservations about the resolution, you'd like to work with the group, you'd like to email correspondence, this is the first time we've ever done it. And we really are receptive to feedback, and we'd like to set a positive precedent going forward with this group, and we really thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys. So, I'm going to let the sponsors of Resolution 39 speak for a couple minutes about it, since we still have another about 5 minutes. Yeah. No. Next week.
Hello, everyone.
Carly, feel free to sit up here.
So, you all know me, Carly Van Holmes, the president of the Family Council. So, I represent to you all the LGBTQ Ally Ambassador Program. This is a program that Emily and I have been working on now for several months. We met with the previous White House leaders last fall, just the practicality and the final details of putting an ambassador in every NLNS ISD chapter and offer to the NCLC the ability to have several ambassadors for their council. And the idea behind an ambassador is that it takes someone who has a vested interest in LGBT issues and is also a point person who is in the House that members who are questioning their identity, or maybe they have friends who are questioning their identity, or family members. Some of them can go talk to, and the idea is that if the person in your chapter is supposed to be comfortable and friendly with people in your group organization, and therefore you can have a nice deep conversation, it can be more meaningful, also more comfortable if you're really hesitant about that or coming out, or whatever capacity that might be. And we are really excited that we've gotten the resolution together, and the program together, to accompany this resolution. And I would love to have questions.
Do you want to feel free to add on?
I just want to add that the Family Council supports this issue solely and, like, works on the issue.
Great. We're going to open up the speaker list for questions only. First is Rep. Muir.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. I guess my question is, you know, you said the panel's on board with what I'm saying.
Yeah, great question. So the idea of this resolution is you probably all know this is a body resolution that the student assembly does not have direct authority over what the tri-council do. That's not part of the obligation. But we do have, me personally, I am the LGBTQ liaison, which means that I represent all LGBTQ people on campus, all undergrads, and there are plenty of us in the system. And as part of that, I was learning from my experience, or using my experience in my chapter, I thought, hey, why don't more chapters have somebody in their house that they can go to and speak openly about some kind of issue, and feel comfortable around exploring their identity. So, with that in mind, how do we set up some resolutions and present this individual chapter? And Panhellenic has really been a leader in this effort, organizing, building structure, and moving forward. And ISB is concerned about how to make something successful and without it feeling like it's mandatory. And it's very, very concerning given that they have a lot of trouble getting talent to do anything sometimes, even attend their ISB general body meetings. So I've been working with the executive board. To figure out how exactly we can make this work for ISB. And the current, there, as the executive board is 100% on board with this, it's convincing different houses to be on board, and we're going to build a task force to go to individual houses and present it, during the chapter meeting, just 5-10 minutes, and open it up to questions, and try and build a list of people who might be interested in the program for more attractive approach.
We still have a couple of questions on here that I'm going to allow. And Juan Carlos or Carly, feel free to just motion to me if you want to add anything on. I know Dean likes to talk. No, because it's so close to the end. VP Breen.
My question is about having also the end of the year. I would love to see Colin Colby and Will Jackson here. I don't think it looks, makes it look the other two, those other two parties kind of look bad. And you kind of expressed that, the general body of ISB might have, have been asking them to make it work, but I think if it's especially, it's a piece of legislation, but it's also affecting a lot of communities, and I think there being a lot of happening, at least those, the representatives of those bodies on board.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond with MGLC specifically. We actually met with the executive board for MGLC today before/during the assembly meeting. So the feedback that we got from them was very positive. The executive board is specifically was on board with it. They like the idea. The only sort of reservations have to do with housing rules, feedback, and the exact mechanics, because MGLC chapter size is ranging from anywhere to 2 people to 15 to 20 people in chapter. So that's really the only concern is how it would function for MGLC, whether it be one ambassador to members of the council or a different member like that. So the exact answer is MGLC, we have to work out, but MGLC was on board with it, and they were supportive of it.
Rep.
The President William Jackson has expressed interest in being a co-sponsor. He just wanted to do more clarification.
Also, I know that ISB has expressed interest in the program, and last week at ISB, he was here by God now. But ISB has a community relationship to ISB there, and he's very happy with this. He said, this is something our community has to do, and I think he's really committed to seeing it happen. So I think that they would be really good.
Rep. Toronis.
One of my questions is, I was wondering how you guys would meet once a semester. It seems a little bit small to me, basically, because somebody that has been treated is, I don't know, I feel like I'm going to have a conversation about this issue. I've learned so much, and I feel like a once a semester meeting would be too little, and it's very, like a delicate subject that needs a lot and a lot of knowledge. So
Okay, you know, the first question, which was, the idea is that I'm not training these students to be like full-fledged counselors, because you don't really have any institutions for that. But what we can do is give them like the beginning, like the tool to have a very basic conversation. And almost more importantly, you give them knowledge of the resources that already exist on campus to specialize in these sorts of things. And that way they can direct their members to those resources, and they can accompany members to the pages of organization events, or like, you know, the casual meet-and-greet type thing. Because to go by yourself would be very intimidating. But to go with friends or something with chapter would be very supportive, and I think that's a really awesome way to like embody ally.
And the last question is,
So I was wondering, Mr. President, if I see that you have a lot of challenges to an intent on the team, why do you need to go to the team?
I mean, it's why are we voting on any resolution? I think it's saying that the student assembly, on behalf of the student body, endorses the program as the undergraduate voice. Last question is VP DeSantis.
Thank you guys for coming. So I recommend this is the whole meeting, 5 minutes. But really quick, I would strongly recommend that you guys come with, if not like a sponsor, like a written statement with their opinion from the ISD and GLC, and maybe even my kind of that car.
I'll quickly say that Chavez has our master fellow director of the LGBT presenter focused on the like reading what happened. And if it's possible to do it, we might want to do it. So,
one step
through the approach is much healthier, and we'd like to see
that. Yeah, also, our panel designer, Catherine, is a consultant for it. And also, I think I've had some things to say about what we need to start handling biological interests.
It's like a one sentence email to read, which is perfect.
I'd like to thank you guys for presenting. It'll be on the agenda next week. I also want to really commend leaders of the Greek system, because you've really been doing a lot this semester to incorporate progressive policies into the system. So really great job. The time is 6:35 and I'm adjourning. One last announcement from VP Luke Shevitz.
Just to clear, I just want to make an announcement about the policy 6.4, Title IX stuff, just so it's clarified for everyone, because I think that there's been a lot of miscommunication about that. Right now, the policy is not formal, is not finalized for shifting cases of sexual assault and sexual violence into policy 6.4. That has not been actually written yet. And last year, whenever that decision was made, every single constituency on campus, the stakeholder was involved in the discussion on it. And right now, they have a flowchart of what they want the policy 6.4 rewriting to look like. And I'm creating like ad hoc committee, basically to review that flowchart and the initial draft of the changes to policy 6.4. And then as soon as that initial draft has been reviewed by the ad hoc committee, it's going to go to every single constituency once again, like it did last year, to receive feedback before it is actually written into policy, or before it goes to the policy advisory council or group to be then written into policy. So I just wanted to clarify that there is going to be student input within the next like 2 weeks, and that it's not just being done by the university.
Meeting adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.